The town of Normal has moved ahead on a six-year capital plan and has raised the salary for the mayor and council members in Normal. Joining us to talk about those and other developments is Mayor Chris Koos, and the mayors of Bloomington and Normal join us most Tuesdays after their regular and special council meetings. Mayor Koos, thanks for your time today.
Looking at my watch, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. The council voted to give the mayor a $14,000 pay raise to about $32,000 a year, and council members a $2,000 raise. How extensive is your job? Make the case for this, would you?
Sure, I'd be happy to. The job, you know, when I took the job, the previous mayor, Kent Carricker, warned me. He said it's a part-time job with full-time expectations. And as things have developed in the community and projects that we've taken on, have required me to be out of my business quite a bit more than I thought I would be. The cost of of things that I would normally do on my own, which I don't have time to do, basic housekeeping, yard work, construction work. The days I'm not in my business, you know, I have to accommodate with part-time hires so that we have salespeople in that. There's a lot there. And the job of mayor, when you're in your community, it never ends. If you're out for dinner somewhere, it's not uncommon to be approached and asked questions to define something in the community. So it's a very intensive job.
You make it sound so attractive.
Oh, right.
So why would
everybody's going to want to run?
Why do people run then? It's
a
tough thing.
You know, the thing that I've always said this, that people at the local level need to separate politics from community service. And most of what people are doing on a council and mayor position in communities our size, it's more community service, giving back to the community, trying to make the community you live in a better place, trying to attract new people to your community.
So the raises for the council and mayor don't take effect until new elections are held and the voters have a chance to elect people and weigh in on this pay raise choice. That's a matter of law. Will you seek to run to have an opportunity to be paid that new salary?
Same answer I gave you 2 weeks ago, Charlie. Ask me in 18 months.
Yeah, always alert there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Going back to the general pay rate for a mayor, how does it compare to other mid-sized cities?
It's right in the ballpark with other cities. Champaign at $35,000. I think Peoria is at $28,000 to $30,000. It's within the ballpark. And when we did our comparables for mid-sized cities in central Illinois, Bloomington, Normal, and I think Danville were at the, not Danville, I'm sorry. I can't think of the other city. We're at the bottom.
So is $32,000 a year either too much or too little? Too much for a part-time job, not enough for a full-time job with a skill set and duties required?
Well, I think it offsets expenses that are not easily identifiable to a person running for mayor. I'm certainly not, I could make the argument that it could be a full-time job with a city manager in terms of being an ambassador for your community. That's something I've done, U.S. Conference of Mayors. I've spoken about what we've done at a number of other cities and venues about our successes with our uptown plan and our transportation-oriented development that we've done in the community. So in the sense that a full-time mayor in a council manager form of government would not be running the city like a city manager would be.
It would be working on policy too,
exactly,
and making the case for political choices that are the province of an elected official. Are there models where that happens? And is Normal big enough to start thinking that way?
Well, that's a good question, you know, and that's something that we've got to look at going forward. I think the answer to that is yes. You know, I'm no council manager forms of government where the mayor has an equivalent salary. I'm thinking about a community on the East Coast and actually has a full-time assistant to help that person exercise their duties and do what they're supposed to do for their community.
That has to be well defined, though, and it has to carry with it some expectation of expertise as well as the time.
Absolutely.
So how do you write that into an elected position? since the people get to choose.
Yeah, it's difficult to do. In the sense that if you look at the history of the town of Normal, the mayors and the council members have been actively engaged as long as I can remember. 20, 30 years ago, there were different issues than there are today. But I can't recall a member of the body that didn't work actively to make the city a better place.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. With us is Mayor Chris Koos of the town of Normal. The town approved a capital improvement plan stretching over the next 5-6 years last night. 122 capital projects, including Constitution Trail improvements, park renovations, road work, and about $88.3 million over the next 6 annual budgets. Compare this to past plans, would you? What shifts in emphasis did you try to make?
You know, in this plan, I think there's in the next year coming an emphasis on water and sewer upgrades. We do have the funding for that in our water and sewer fund to make improvements that need to be done to ensure that we have quality water throughout the community. I think that's probably the emphasis this year. And that plan will change. I think it's important to say that that's a plan that's updated every year. It's not a plan we do every 6 years. We look at it every year. It's called the Capital Improvement Plan. And if people are interested, it's on the website, www.normal.org. And it's an interactive site where you can select a project and drill down in the detail of it and find out what it is, what it's going to cost, who's in charge of it, and maybe some description on what the actual project is.
As a matter of public education, how does the town plan to pay for these ongoing scheduled improvements and reconstructions?
Well, there's a whole basket of funds for that, Charlie. There's the general fund, there's sewer fund, water fund, there's motor fuel tax dollars, there are grants from the state. State of Illinois is talking about a infrastructure bill or a capital bill. The federal government's starting to talk about an infrastructure bill. So there's a whole basket of funding.
Will it entail large-scale town borrowing?
It should not. We've had a situation where almost everything we do is pay as you go in terms of these kind of capital projects. The ones that I can think of that we bonded for were some significant water upgrades in the early 2000s that needed to be desperately done, and we had low interest loans from the EPA. And then, of course, the significant infrastructure, roads, sewers, water and undergrounding utilities in the uptown area.
Mm-hmm. Late this week, we're going to have an interview with the representatives from State Farm Insurance to sum up where the company is on its reorganization and redeployment plans. It used to be that with the so-called State Farm mothership being the unchallenged center for this company, the talent pool in Bloomington Normal was very deep. Now, that had a lot of benefits for the community. But let's talk about the people involved in creating community boards, councils, volunteering, fundraising, cultural arts, etc. With Richardson, Texas, Atlanta, and the Southern Hubs now taking up a significant share of State Farm's upper echelon, can the town do anything to encourage extra involvement of the State Farm workforce in community to offset some of this shift?
I think so. I think there's opportunity with some of the younger people in the community to get them engaged, younger State Farm employees, if you will. The jobs and the commissions and that we recruit people for don't require significant skill sets or specific skill sets. We look at things, we bring people up to speed on that. It really is more of a desire to serve.
How does the town do outreach to look for talent for those service positions?
Well, myself and the council spend a fair amount of time paying attention to that. And when we find somebody that we think is a good fit for a commission or somebody who wants to be actively involved, we'll get their information and put it on file and keep an eye on that. And we, you know, we recruit. We go out and ask people. And we also get referrals from people that say, hey, you know, this young woman's pretty dynamic and would be a good fit for X commission.
The changed company structure with State Farm also creates a different dynamic for community involvement from the way things used to be done, and potentially jeopardizes that sort of outreach that you've just talked about. It used to be that State Farm would send them out to a regional for a few years and then bring them back here when they're promotable. Back out, back here, rinse and repeat till career peak. But if they're not coming back, if they're going to be in Richardson, Texas, or Phoenix, mm-hmm. or Atlanta, there's less of an incentive to get involved in this place where they start than there used to be. Because if they're not coming back, they're not going to view this as home. They're going to view it as a way station. Is there anything to be done about that?
You know, I think I disagree with you a little bit on
okay.
that, because I do know people that have left the community and come back. So with headquarters still here, that still happens. Now, it doesn't happen as much as it did 15 years ago, but it does happen. In fact, I know someone who has been sent to Richardson, Texas, and has told me they will likely be back here in 3 to 4 years because they are on that leadership path. So we're not going to see as much of it, but it's still definitely there. You know, and I think it's worth talking about in terms of economic development and community vitality in the United States, it's all about where the talent is. And, you know, that's our concern, is that we're losing talent. And that's why we're working so hard with Illinois State University and trying to get incubator programs and quality of life issues that make younger people want to stay here, because it's an affordable place to live. It's a safe place to live. And if there are good job opportunities, the talent will stay.
Yeah, but even if you have talent, sometimes that's not enough. The idea of agglomeration, clustering as a trend in a lot of industries is decades, maybe even centuries old, from medical to manufacturing, computers in Silicon Valley, biotech finance. There's a natural tendency for businesses to go like to like, to share workforce expertise, to capitalize on scale. Can mid-sized communities, no matter how deep their homegrown resources and no matter how good an asset state there is, like Illinois State University producing and Illinois Wesleyan University producing talent, can they fight that agglomeration trend?
Well, I think they can respond to it. I don't think they can, as you would say, fight in terms of reversing that trend. I don't see that happening in the near future, but I think there's certainly a place for smaller communities. And you're starting to see it as a backlash where younger people who may not be corporate, or sometimes they are corporate, are moving to places like Denver, Des Moines, Iowa, Buffalo, New York, because the cost of living is reasonable there. And younger people are looking for affordability in terms of cost of living, and they're looking for quality of life. And if they can be mobile with their jobs, they're gonna do that.
Mayor Chris Kuss of the Town of Normal, thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
Glad to be here.
The mayors of Bloomington and Normal join us most Tuesdays after their regular and special council meetings.